Well, hello, fellow end timers. Here we are again, looking for reasons not to be afraid. But there's some good reasons, and there are some things that that are amazing in all these scriptures that we're going through. We're starting to give examples of the early battles with the forces of darkness. This is the early battles. And we used an example, the first example last time was Adam and Eve. And we saw that the devil was in there with God at the same time, and yet God's, you know, it's not like God's like totally oblivious. Well, you know, I didn't know you were in here, you know, that sort of thing. Let's see, maybe I should just read this little paragraph that I wrote, but it's in relationship to this, what we're going to share tonight, and it's in relationship to example one last week of what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve and the serpent. We always think in terms of the devil going around doing evil things to us. We think he is so evil compared to us. I mean, we do. We think the devil, don't we? Don't we think the devil is so much more evil than us? Okay. Good. Thank y'all for acknowledging that. But in our last class about the Garden of Eden, the ones who did the evil things against God was Adam and Eve. He said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Is that right? It's important to recognize that. The devil only tempted them, but they didn't have to give in to it. They had free will, right? But even they had something even better off than what we've had. And they still gave in to it. They didn't have a sin nature. That came after they ate. Right? Wow. We'll get into this in the second half. But the temptation, like in our last class, in Ezekiel 17, talking about the trees, the temptation was to be higher. The temptation was to be smarter. The temptation was, it's the bane of human society is that they think the exact opposite of God and don't even know it. They think that that's, you know, it's, you know, God is going to exalt this church and, you know, prophesy, you are going to be a great minister. And, you know, well, what if he doesn't want you to be a great minister? And what if he doesn't want to exalt your church? Well, he'll take care of that too. But, you know, sometimes he just lets it go. Anyway, so they didn't even have a sin nature to give in to it. They had free will, and they gained that after they ate. In our next example, we again have us going against what God wanted. It's in 1 Chronicles 21, if you'll turn there with me. There's a lot of scriptures here, so I'm not going to get into all of them, but we'll just start with verses 1 through 8 and maybe see if we get into something else. In our next example, we again have us going against what God wanted. David did it, and the devil only provoked him. Right? Did you know that temptation, the devil's always tempting? Did you know temptation isn't sin? It's when you give in to it. Right? And who gives into it? The devil? Well, no, he's already given into it. That's our deal. All right. So this is 1 Chronicles 21. Most of you know this story, but we'll read verse 1 through 8. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be, but my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Isn't this funny? Joab instructed. It's like, well, David could go, well, I don't trust Joab. I mean, he's messed up so many times, he couldn't be of God. Well, maybe God will use him, and you've already marked him off. Just be open to the Lord, no matter who it is, no matter how many times they've messed up. Can I get an amen on Skype? Yeah, see, that was loud. Thank you. All right. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David, and all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew sword. And Judah was 430 and 10,000 men that drew sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. Okay. So he's going to actually be disobedient to the king who's being disobedient to God. You go, but he's right. Okay, then if you say that, you don't understand. You don't understand him. All right. So in verse 7, but here's the kicker. God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done foolishly. All right, so why do you think David would want to number the people? Well, because of pride, right? Okay. Where did I write that little statement? In what way did the devil stand against Israel? Because the beginning says that, and Satan stood up against Israel. All right? So, he wasn't even attacking David per se. He was using David. He was using David. And he was provoking him, but how did he provoke him? He provoked that thing in David that wants proof that he's a great man. All right? Is that possible to provoke in you? Well, yeah, you know, you and me. In what way did the devil stand against Israel? He provoked David in terms of pride so he could glory in the amount of people he had that were being his kingdom. This is my kingdom. Remember, that those were the words Joab did. You know? You didn't have to count them. God gave them to you, you know. Knowing David's motivation, Joab tried to talk him out of it. So my thought is, speaking of the devil, is that the worst he can do? I mean, again, I started this by saying we always think of him so evil and stuff, but in the example of Adam and Eve and in the example here, we're the ones doing the thing. We're doing it, and God's displeased with us. In neither one of those did it say God was displeased with the devil. I mean, he defeated the serpent, right? But That's not really saying I'm displeased with you. He just said, the woman's seed, listen to me, serpent. The woman's seed is going to bruise your head. You're only going to bruise her seed's heel. That's it. This is just about bruising. I don't want to be bruised. All right, so is that the worst that you can do? What's the end result of it? What's the end result? You know the end result of this story, right? I hope you do. That place of sacrifice done by Abraham with Isaac now becomes a place of sacrifice and brokenness before God. It's the same mount. It's Mount Moriah. It's the same mountain as Abraham offered up his son, and God was pleased with that because God is going to offer up his son, his firstborn son. And it was a place of sacrifice done by Abraham with Isaac, now becomes a place of sacrifice and brokenness before God, okay? And soon it will become the fountain of the temple. The temple will be built on that spot, the place where God lives on the earth. Okay. Now, why? I'm sure I don't have that all in here, so I'm going to just read a little further, and then I'll answer that. And because David buys that place, it will become the place that Solomon will build God a temple and get extremely more sacrifices. Satan won a small battle, but God wins the war. All right. So we, of course, when we fail, we go, I'm no good. I don't even want to. Are you speaking in tongues or mumbling? Anyway, this is an interesting story, and I would like you to search this story out in 1 Corinthians 21 because there are several different points where there's sacrifice. First Chronicle, what did I say? Sorry. First Chronicles. There's several different places. Not just one place where it talks about sacrifice. Not only that, but the angel stopped destroying not at the point of sacrifice. This is really interesting. I'm telling you, you should, because wouldn't you say, as soon as David killed that first sacrifice on Ornan's threshing floor, it stopped, right? But it didn't. No, it stopped way before that. And it really stopped because God said, stop. Yeah. And look at it. Okay, but let me add this in. But David, after that, David's heart starts going, you know, Lord, don't take it out on them. You know, this was my fault. And, do whatever to me. But, you know, it's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of, he recognizes that was, whatever he was doing was high and lifted up, and now it's low and before God in brokenness for others and for God's sake. And so you begin to look at the progression through there. Once the Lord says to the angel, okay, hold up. It doesn't say why he said that. Isn't that cool? I love that. You've got to begin to know God. And you've got to begin to watch, as it were, the players in there. David, in this case, and what's going on and how it's proceeding. And David not only gets broken and all that, but he goes up on Ornan's threshing floor, which the angel of the Lord told him to do that. But he goes up there, and of course, that's where Abraham offered a sacrifice. And Ornan was a Jebusite, I think, you know. And, those guys, David was pretty good at running them out of Jerusalem, Mount Zion. But But in this case, Ornan says, you know, I will give you the sacrifice. I'll give you the land. And David said, no. How do you call it sacrifice if it doesn't cost me? You know, oozing the truth in a right spirit, rising up to the Father from the Son that is within us. And so this is just a great, great story. And again, I don't want to go real long in these sessions. But so the bottom line for the devil, which obviously is such a side story to this. I mean, the main mention is Satan stood up. Well, sit down, buddy. You know, and he does it against. Okay, but we don't have to give in to all this stuff. But more importantly, I'm sorry to say this, you may not like it. More importantly, on a certain level, it doesn't matter if you give in, if the Spirit of Christ can get you later on and you can, as it were, since we always talk about the corridor, you can enter that in a right spirit and you can be with him and you can give up your high and mighty ideas and your great, you know, what is it when you really have something that wants to do great things? Ambition. You give up your ambitions. You say, I am willing to be the lowest one. I'll take the lowest seat, right? But how come people aren't fighting over the lowest seat? Why are they not fighting over the lowest seat? I want to be. Oh, well, no, one reason is because if you really want the lowest seat, then you're going to be low and give it to somebody else. You see? But they're fighting over the higher seats. That's where the battle's going on. And Jesus is just sitting in the lower seat going, whatever you're fighting over to be something great, it's worthless to me. You know, the thing, when you find that out, it means everything. Because then now you know what counts to him. You know what counts. And so you go, all right, this is stupid. You know, I'm trying to bring you this. And you want this. Anyway, the glorious end of this story is not because of David's greatness. It's because of his lowliness. And the enemy can trip anybody up. But, you know, what does it say? The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and though he fall, you shall not be utterly cast down. Well, I always read that and said the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. So I assume because of that other mindset that I would never fall. If the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, I won't fall. God's going to keep me from stumbling. But he says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and though he fall. Now, we need to keep that in mind because you're going to learn a little lesson while you're down there. It's a good lesson. It's an eternal lesson. And he's allowing it. And he's even telling you, I'm ordering that step that tripped you up and made you fall. Praise God. Amen. So I hope you're getting less and less afraid. The righteous are bold as a lion, but you know what? Their spirit is like a lamb. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this class, and I thank you for our hearts that really do want to know you and all these things. And we look up to you, we look at your heart, and we see the way your mind works. And we realize that in so many ways we're like David, we're wanting to count up our good stuff. And you'll bring all of that down. Just to get our attention. And get us in a right place with you. that your Son may live in us, and that your temple may be built so that you can dwell on this earth in us. We be in that temple, a house of sacrifice. Thank you. What a glorious blessing and present you've given to us. We love you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.